Messi, Iniesta, Messi.
Has got more curves to it than Jessica Rabbit on steroids. Take a look at this.
This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil.
Oh, can you believe that? Is that the icing on the cake or what? What a goal! What an absolute missile! A wry smile on the face of Jurgen Klopp. But what a thunderbolt! Where did Calhanoglu pull that one from?
Over the top. Oh, spectacular, Thiago! That one is one for history to look at. One of the goals of the season.
Picks out Rivaldo. Oh, he's seen the keeper off his line. Oh, extraordinary by Rivaldo.
Straight in, Thomas Müller with a beauty. Goalkeepers do not stop those.
Urgency up. James Rodriguez. Has to be a beautiful, absolutely brilliant.
Now from Malouda, he's got Henry making a move ahead of him. Zidane stepping through the challenges, feeding Patrick Vieira, ravaging run from midfield. Tackled by Chuan, brought down by Chuan.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since my last podcast with y'all. I think we ended off on episode 11 the last time I was here with you. Had some technical issues with my mixing board. Had to send it back to the manufacturer to get fixed. But as you can hear, we're all good and back in effect. So let me get a little bit of the housekeeping out of the way, as usual. We can be reached at the website, www.footballweekly.com. That's football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. Also, you can hit me on Twitter, at Reginald Dino. All that information is on the Contact Us page, so navigate to the website, hit the Contact Us page, or hit the Contact Us tab at the top of the webpage. And all the contact information is there. You can hit me on email, Twitter. You can leave messages, show topics, agree or disagree with anything I've said in the shows previous. But that being said, wow, it's been about 3 or 4 weeks now since we last spoke, or you listened and I've spoken. So, so much news in the world of football. It's hard to know where to start, but like I said, hard to figure out where to start, but we'll hit the usual topics. We'll talk about the Ballon d'Or European Player of the Year, talk about the African Player of the Year, we'll talk about the Arsenal, we'll talk about any of the issues that are going on in world football right now. I'll give you a recap of all the teams that are and where they stand in their respective leagues. Transfer window opens in about 3 weeks, so we'll hit some transfer rumors as well. So, as usual, sit back, relax, and take in the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this. Well, a lot has gone on in the last 3 or 4 weeks since I last spoke to you. I think it's been about closer to 5 weeks, actually, but or maybe four, actually. Can't get to everything in an hour show. So what I've done is I've picked and chose what topics I would like to speak on, and maybe later down the road we can revisit some of the other things that I wanted to speak on. Every week I go through the news, the football news, and there's a couple of things about the Qatar World Cup that I wanted to speak to. I know I spoke about it in previous podcasts, but there was some developments on that as well. But I had to narrow it down to the stuff that I thought was more pertinent, so I've done that, and I'll take that out. Still trying to get those guys together to do a corruption show. Schedules just aren't matching, but hopefully we can get that done in the near future. Hopefully in the new year we can get that show for you. What I wanted to start with, well, 3 weeks ago what I wanted to start with was the case of Chet Evans, who was a football player soccer player in England, second division, who plays for Sheffield Wednesday, who was accused of rape. And we will talk about that. But some pressing news has just surfaced in the last couple of days. For those of you that are unaware, one of the greatest football players ever to touch the pitch in England retired. And I'm talking about Thierry Henry. It's been a while coming. For me, what I tell people all the time is when you reach the MLS, your career is done. You just want that last paycheck. And, you know, after you've finished your contract there, you just ride off into the sunset. He was still probably one of the best players in MLS. Well, if not the best, one of the best, top three in the league from last year, last season, the last five seasons that he's been in New York. He's always been top five in the league. And I'm very pleased and very happy to have had the chance to see him play when he was still one of the best players in a league. I would have loved to have seen him when he played in England, when he was the best player in England, and opponents and opposition managers and other opponents that he's played against have said he was just magnificent on the field today. I would have loved to have seen him live in those times, but, you know, couldn't do it. So definitely when he came to Toronto to play the Toronto FC, definitely had my ticket for that game. And you know how I feel about MLS and TFC and all that. But I was going to see Thierry Henry. And like I said, I was still very happy that, he was still the best player on the pitch when I saw him play. Just his movement, his smarts, he's always in the right spot, and that's not luck. You know, he's always in the right position to pick up the ball. He's always in the right position to make that pass. It's not luck. It's vision. It's knowing the game. It could be even a sixth sense for some of these players. Very, very, very special player, and not just because he's played for Arsenal, which is my squad, but if you've seen him play, seen some of his highlights, if you go to the website, the footballweekly.com website. I've put his top 25 goals up there. You can click on that and watch those and just see how much of a special talent this guy was. I've also posted a documentary up there that's it's called Legend, all about Thierry Henry. It's about an hour and 10 minutes. So if you have an hour and 10 minutes, I suggest you take a look at that. He's a very, very humble guy, but very confident in his skill set, and as well he should be. So from Football Weekly, we'd like to thank Thierry Henry for gracing us with his skill set throughout all these years. And like I said, I was privileged and honored to have watched him play. He was a great player. He's gonna be a pundit on Sky Sports, I believe, for I think the next couple of years at least. I think I want to say a 5-year deal, but I'm not really sure. But I think I saw 5 years, but there's also some rumors that he's going to be coming back to Arsenal in a coaching capacity. So I hope that happens, or even if he's a scout, you know, even put him on the coaching staff. He might even take over for Arsene Wenger. Who knows? Who knows? But not really a sad day. You know, everyone's going to retire. Ronaldo's going to retire. Messi's going to retire. Everyone's going to retire. Just as long as you do it on your own terms and you've played a healthy and full career. He's played for Juventus. He's played for Arsenal, Barcelona, Monaco. He played in the World Cups. He's played in Euros. He's won Champions League. He's won leagues. He was on the Invincible team that didn't lose a game. So he's done his due. He should have no qualms about ending it now. And just like I have no qualms of him ending it now. As long as players end on their own terms, no problem with it. And I applaud him for his contribution to the football world. We're gonna miss him in MLS, that's for sure. But good luck to him on his future endeavors. So moving on, getting into what I wanted to start off with, which was the curious case of Chet Evans, who, like I said, was a second tier football player in England. Playing for Sheffield Wednesday. The reason why this story is so prominent in England right now is because he was accused of raping a woman and spent the last 2 years in jail. Now that he's out of jail now, I believe he was released early. Now that he's out, he wants to resume his playing career. And he wants to resume his playing career with Sheffield Wednesday, the team that he was on before he went to jail. Sheffield Wednesday said, yeah, okay, no problem, come back. And then the shit hit the fan. People were writing to Sheffield Wednesday, writing to the FA to keep this guy from coming back to Sheffield Wednesday, to keep this guy from playing anywhere near the Championship, near Premier League, near everything that has to do with the FA. They don't want him to play. And I believe a petition went around to stop this guy from playing, signed by 150,000 people. So, under the weight of the pressure from the public, the club yielded and rescinded its offer for him to come back and play. Okay. This is a tough issue for me. On one hand, a person that goes to jail should have the right to come back into society and make a living for themselves. But on the other hand, you raped a woman, which is one of the most disgusting crimes. For me, it's one of the most disgusting crimes out there. That and pedophilia. Now, there's several questions I have about this whole case. And me reading a lot about athletes and reading a lot about players and athletes and on the road and running into groupies and running into the girls that are, you know, scandalous, what we like to call them. So there's always has to be that thought in your mind that, well, maybe this was a payday that she was looking for. And like I said, I don't know if that's the case. 100% I don't know that's the case. But you have to look at it at both angles. If he did the crime, well, then I can understand the outrage. There was a case a couple of years ago about a whole lacrosse team from the University of Duke in North Carolina. Woman went in there and said that a whole team raped her. Players lost their scholarships. Team was disbanded. It wasn't allowed to play in the NCAAs. Team was embarrassed. Coaches embarrassed. Schools embarrassed. 8 months later, it comes out the girl lied about the whole thing. And you sit back and you look. You sit back and you look at it, and it's like, players lost scholarships. That's 8 months. That's almost a whole academic year that you lost. Your name's been dragged through the mud in places. You can tell people you didn't do it, but no one's going to believe you. I'm just surprised, and I always tell people this when we talk about stuff like this and this incident comes up. I'm surprised no one killed themselves over this. Because your name's being dragged through the mud. Your family's name's being dragged through the mud. Your parents or your mom goes to the grocery store, and your son's the one that raped that girl, isn't it? How can you live with that? And you can swear up and down you didn't do it, but no one's going to believe you. So you have to look at both sides of the story on this. But for taking it for what it's worth and what we see and the evidence that we have, it's he raped this woman and he shouldn't be. I think the FA made a correct decision not to let him play. I know Sheffield Wednesday let him on to the point where he thought he was going to sign a contract and come back and pick up like nothing ever happened. And they were probably ready to do that. But the pressure from the public was just too much and they've had to rescind their offer. And if he did rape the woman, then I agree wholeheartedly with that. It's kind of like the incident Ray Rice is going through. If y'all don't know, Ray Rice is the guy that knocked out his then fiance in an elevator and only got charged because there was video of it. If there was no video of it, I'm sure this never would have come to the light of day. But that's a sad thing as well. People need to see it in order to believe it. I mean, it's not enough that her face was all jacked up. You have to actually see him hit her and have her head bounce off a railing in order to understand the severity of the incident. Ray Rice is, well, I believe he actually got reinstated by the NFL. He's in the process of suing different parties, I guess, to make up his salary for this past year. But he can't work anywhere. He can't work for the NFL. He can't work for CBS and for NBC. He can't. He's not gonna. I don't know what team's gonna pick him up again. I say he's done. And when you commit crimes like this, and no, let's not get it twisted, this is a crime. This is a crime. Drilling your drilling a woman's head off a railing and knocking her unconscious, yeah, that's a crime. Drilling a guy's head off a railing is a crime. Okay, so I mean, you should have some ability to come back and be a significant member of society and still be able to make a living doing something. But I'm not going to lose sleep over a rapist not being able to play soccer, as well as I'm not going to lose any sleep about a guy who commits domestic violence towards any woman and he's not allowed to play football. I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. So I applaud the FA for coming down like they did. Just happy that the FA didn't approve it and then rescinded under public pressure. They just came out and said no. So I applaud that, actually. In the last podcast, well, I believe it was the last podcast of, I haven't done one in so long, so we spoke about the finalists for the Ballon d'Or, and we spoke about how Suarez was surprised he was left off the list of 23, and we went all into how he could be surprised and things like that. But in the past couple of weeks, they've narrowed it down to the three finalists for the Ballon d'Or, and I've put together a clip package of those three finalists, and here it is.
Benzema free at the far post at the moment, but free enough is Cristiano Ronaldo. Chance to run at Musacchio. Benzema, decent save. Ronaldo's in there! It's a goal! Took a deflection on its way in, but he'll be claiming it. Di Maria is in. Angel Di Maria. Cristiano Ronaldo's in the centre. Likewise, Isco. Cristiano Ronaldo. They got there in the end. 3-0 to Real Madrid. Now he follows Iniesta. Messi's on the ball. Messi goes round Aguilar. Messi wants it back. Leo Messi! Leo Messi! The architect of the move. And the player who finishes it off just before the end of the game. He clinches the win for Barcelona. He scores for a record 17th consecutive league game.
Again, taking on Eitingan, beating him. Messi is inside the penalty area. Messi! 2-0! Leo Messi! Gets his 17th goal of the season. But this man, with Maradona watching them, again Messi, he's beaten Coupe. What a goal from Leo Messi, hat-trick from the Argentine star. What a flash.
Manuel Neuer, FC Bayern München, number one, goalkeeper.
Kagawa again. Oh, what a save by Neuer, world class. Phenomenal Lewandowski and Neuer there again.
It's Diego who takes it. Fine save by Neuer. Called upon for the first time, and it was an excellent free kick by Diego, and the Bayern keeper showing his class. Rango wants the 1-2. There's the shot, and a perfect, perfect save from Manuel Neuer, and that is why you spend $22 million on a goalkeeper.
So there you have it. Those are the three finalists for the Ballon d'Or for 2014-2015. Year. Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, and Manuel Neuer. I'm not one of these guys that gets all bent out of shape and hyped up over individual awards. I'm not. Because all these contests and awards are pretty much popularity contests. Is it really who's most important to their team? Or it's who's most popular in the league? Or in the world of football? It's always the usual suspects. It's always Ronaldo. It's always Messi. It's always Ronaldo, and it's always Messi, and then it's Messi, and then it's Ronaldo. Got it. Got it. You can talk to anybody who watches any leagues throughout the world, and they'll tell you seven guys that were left off this list that should be on the final 23. At least seven. If you talk to anybody who follows the Serie A, they'll tell you that this guy from Juve, this guy from Inter, this guy from Ace, he should have been on the list, and he wasn't, blah, 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 blah. And you can go on to all the leagues, on and on and on. So, is it really a popularity contest? Which I believe it is. And if it is, then who cares about this award? Who cares about this award? So, I don't know who I would vote for. Out of the three, I don't know who I would vote for to win this award. If anybody cared and I had a vote, they're all pretty important to their team, but I can make arguments on all three of them that if they weren't on their team, they'd still probably, if they weren't on the teams that they were on in the leagues that they were playing in, that their teams would probably still be okay. I'm viewing this reward more as like an MVP for your squad, for your team. Like, if you weren't there, your team would be garbage. That's how I'm viewing this award. And my view could be wrong. Could be a total different criteria to how they pick the players and how they pick a winner. But the way I look at it is, if you weren't on your team, would your team still survive? Or would they be garbage? So, gun to my head, I would have to give the award to Cristiano Ronaldo. And later on in the show, I'll tell you why. Okay. So hopefully when they actually give out the award and announce the winner, we'll have a little bit of a clip showing their skills, showing the winner's skill set and things like that. And you can see that on our YouTube channel, by the way. During my time off from making podcasts or recording podcasts, I was able to do some other social media type stuff with the Football Weekly. We've created a Google Plus page. All this stuff is on the Contact Us page. It's been updated, so you can click on the icons and it'll take you to our Google Plus page. The Google icon will take you to the Google Plus page. The YouTube icon will take you to the YouTube page that we created. We've been busy. We created a YouTube channel, Football Weekly Podcast. We're going to start recording the shows, audio and video. We're in the process of building a green screen so we can have some video of the studio and have some guests in, and you can see what you're hearing. As it stands right now, I just have a bunch of clips and audio on the YouTube channel. You can listen to the podcast, same podcast that you're hearing on the RSS feeds. You can hear it on YouTube with a little bit of video clips and, you know, just to give you some type of visual. I've put together some things there as well. So, and if for those of you that are savvy listeners, you'll hear that there's a new intro as well. So I've made two new intros. So altogether we have three. You know, we'll rotate those intros throughout the different shows. So yeah, we haven't been sitting around waiting for Behringer to fix our mixer. We've actually been doing stuff. So definitely go to the Contact Us page. Check out the YouTube channel. Check out the Google Plus page. Subscribe. If you have anything you want to share with us, feel free to share it. We can retweet it on Twitter. We've linked everything to Twitter, and we were in the process of thinking about doing a Facebook page, but I don't think we will. But yeah, so definitely get on that, and we'll give all that information at the end of the show anyway. Came to my head, so I thought I would promote that real quick. But anyways, getting back to what we were speaking about. So we'll definitely have a visual clip of the winner for those of you that are listening and watching on the YouTube channel. But like I said, I would have to vote for Cristiano Ronaldo. Like I said, we'll get into that a little bit deeper as the show goes forth, and I'll tell you why. The BBC African Footballer of the Year was named as well. And the winner of that, the actual winner of that, they skipped the three nominees. The actual winner of that, well, actually, they have five nominees, and I told you about them in the last podcast. The winner was Yassine Brahimi from Algeria, plays for FC Porto. And for those of you that are watching the World Cup, this guy was a dynamo in the midfield. Playmaker, smart with the ball, fast, quick, good skill. Porto has a gem with this guy. Just happy to see that African football is being represented, and people are starting to take a keen eye towards it. And unlike European Footballer of the Year, it's not the same four or five guys every year. Sure, Yaya Toure is always in the mix, but before this World Cup, I don't know how many of you have even heard of Yassine Brahimi. So I'm glad to see that different names of people are up and coming within African football and being recognized as well. So congratulations to Yassine, and you will see him in the round of 16 of the Champions League. Now that we're in the round of 16, you should be able to see all these games on TV, and just look out for this midfielder on FC Porto. And they're playing Basel in the round of 16, so he should show improve and shine in those games. And like I said, congratulations. So what we're going to do next is we're going to go through the leagues. For me, and I know this is just me, but for me, when we get to this point of the year, around December, January, it always feels like the halfway point because the transfer window is opening again. Transfer window opens back up in, I believe, 2 weeks. So for me, I always look at it as like when the transfer window opens, we're halfway through the season, which is totally false. But there's still another 5 months left after the transfer window closes. So it's not really technically the halfway point, but for me, it feels like it. It feels like it. In future shows, next week, we're going to talk about transfer targets for different teams and who's available, who's on the move, and hopefully maybe I'll have a guest call in for that. And we can talk about the transfer market. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to go through all the leagues. So we start in Spain, where it's the usual three suspects. Real's in first place with 39 points. Barcelona's in second place with 35 points. And Atletico Madrid is in third place with 32 points. Sevilla and Valencia aren't that far behind. Third place, actually. So, tight race there. 4 points separating first from second. Leading goal scorer in that league is Ronaldo with 25 goals. And second to him is Lionel Messi with 13. And that's the reason why I would give the Ballon d'Or to Cristiano Ronaldo. And Ronaldo was in form all last season. Set the record in European Champions League goal scoring with 17 goals in the Champions League. Won the 10th title. Well, him and his team won the 10th title for Real Madrid in Champions League last season. He won the European Golden Shoe. I believe he had 31 goals in the league last year, tied with Luis Suarez. And he's pretty much been in form all season. The only blemish on his last season performance might have been the World Cup, but as we all heard and as we probably all know, he was a little bit banged up, a little bit injured, playing all those games, especially going to the Champions League finals with his team. That's later on in the season, end of May, and you have a June tournament. So he might not have got all the rest that he needed to perform as well as he could have in the World Cup, but just those records alone that he was able to amass last season should give him the edge on winning the Ballon d'Or. Messi also had a great season last, but just for FIFA and Sepp Blatter, breaking records and setting new records holds a lot more weight than playing well. So Messi broke the La Liga goal scoring record, but that's La Liga. Ronaldo broke the European Champions League goal scoring record, all teams throughout Europe. So that's what I believe gives him a nod over the two other finalists. And Manuel Neuer is a goalie. And it's unfortunate to say, but people don't go to games to watch the goalies. So I don't believe he can win it. Even though he won the World Cup, I still don't believe he can win the Ballon d'Or. So that's why I feel Ronaldo will win the Ballon d'Or. It's not just the, oh, wow, look, he has 50 goals. Like I tell people back in the day when Emmanuel Adebayor used to play for Arsenal, there was one year where he scored 30 goals. And 30 goals in the EPL, that's a good haul for the season. Well done. But if you really break down the amount of goals he scored, I think he scored 5 in a game. You know, so I think he scored in total, I think he scored 8 or 9 against one team over two games, home and away. So I mean, that's a third of your goals against one team. So, but he didn't score against Chelsea, and he didn't score against Man U, and he didn't score against Liverpool, and he didn't score against Man City. So who are you really scoring against? Are you getting goals when we need them, or are you getting goals when it's already 4-0? So you have to look at that as well. The importance of the goals, game-winning goals, is always a big deal in my book. If a player has 50 goals for the season and 2 game-winning goals, and another player has 7 goals for the season and 6 of them are game-winning goals, I'm going to value the guy who has the 6 game-winning goals over the guy who scored 50. So that's just me. You got to look at it like that as well. So moving on, we'll move on to Italy right now. Juventus is in first place with 36 points. Roma's in second by 35 points. And Lazio's is in third place by 26. So they're 10 points off the pace. But Sampdoria and Genoa are also tied with Lazio for that third spot with 26 points. I believe Lazio's on top on goal differential. So leading goal scorer in that league is Carlos Tevez with 9 goals. Icardi from Inter with 8. The Roma-Juve clash is always going to be interesting. Juventus tied this past weekend 1-1 with someone. Can't remember who it was. And which allowed Roma to creep up and get within 1 point of first place in Italy, in the Serie A. So, tight race over there, actually. That'd be worth watching in a couple of months to see if Juventus can pull away. Next podcast, I'm going to list off, or on the website, actually, I'm going to list off the important matches that are coming up for each team. So it'd be very, very interesting to see when Juventus plays Roma next, how deep into the season. Maybe that will be a league clinching game, it's very interesting to see when they play next. So I'll keep you abreast of that on the website. Moving to England, we have Chelsea on top with 39 points, Manchester City with 36, and Manchester United with 31, which is shocking to me. For all of you guys that have been listening to the podcast from day one, you know that I'm not a Man U fan. Man U and Liverpool I'm not going to say that. People get offended, but not a Man U fan, not a Liverpool fan. And the way Man United started, I would never see them being in third place in my halfway point of the season. But, yep, they're in third place. They've managed to leapfrog about 6 or 7 teams in the last 3 or 4 weeks. They've been playing good football. They've been winning games they're supposed to win instead of struggling to tie. So I say good on to them, but again, not a Man United fan. Not a Man United fan. West Ham is in fourth place in the final Champions League qualification spot with 28 points, and Southampton has 26. Very early in the season, obviously, but those are the leaders right now. Sergio Aguero has 14 goals, and Diego Costa is right behind him with 12. So, very tight in the EPL as well. The top 8 teams, I guess, all have a shot at making the final Champions League spot, which is 4th place. I believe Arsenal is only 5 points behind United for 3rd. So, it's very tight in the EPL, and very interesting to see how that shakes out. Very busy, festive season coming in the next couple of weeks. It's always fun when Christmas rolls around because your team plays about 3 games in about 7 days. So it's always fun to watch because there's always games on. And, it's, you know, this is the time of the year where everybody starts to dig in. And you know, this is the moment of the season where they say, hey, this is the make or break point. And to top it off is a transfer window. In the midst of it as well. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens in England. And finally, we'll go to Germany in the Bundesliga. Of course, we have Bayern Munich on top with 42 points. 42 points. Wolfsburg is second with 30 points. So they're 12 points behind Bayern Munich. And Bayer Leverkusen is in third place with 24 points. Mönchengladbach is... also tied. Actually, Mönchengladbach and Augsburg are both on 24 points. Same as in Italy with the three teams below second place on the same points. But only Leverkusen is on top due to goal differential. Leading goal scorer in that league is Meyer from Frankfurt Eintracht with 10. And Robin from Bayern Munich with 9. Safe to say that that league is done and dusted. 12 points up on the closest position should be a slam dunk, especially if you're Bayern Munich in that league. The surprise team in that league is Borussia Dortmund, who are in the final 16 of the Champions League, but are almost last place in the Bundesliga, which doesn't make any sense. But I think they were their only real challengers to Bayern Munich were Dortmund, but. They seem to be struggling mightily in the domestic league, and I don't know why. But hopefully they can turn it around. I would hate to see them go down. I have a soft spot for Jurgen Klopp. I think he's one of those type of coaches that players love to play for, and he gives the passion, and he coaches with the same passion that I believe that he would play with. So you always want to see guys like that succeed. So hopefully they can turn it around and next year fight for top honors in the Bundesliga. So those are your league champions or your league leaders with goal scoring leaders for the four leagues that we cover. Obviously, the MLS is finished right now, so we don't have any news from them. But next, we're going to be talking about the Champions League. Champions League final 16 draw was last week. Here's how it went. So there's some very juicy ties in the round of 16 for the Champions League. Very juicy. There's a couple that have some ties from previous players. There's some that have ties from previous managers. It's going to be a great round of 16, I believe, that starts in the second week of February. To start it off, we have PSG versus Chelsea. The return of David Luiz to Stamford Bridge. I'll also pick my winner of the tie as well and give you my final eight. So I believe Chelsea wins that battle of the giants. I think they do enough at home at Stamford Bridge to take care of that tie and then go away to a team that's probably more talented than them and do what they always do and sit back and hope for a tie. And then bring him back to Stamford Bridge and take the tie. So I think Chelsea wins that battle. Second game we have is Arsenal versus Monaco, which is the return of Arsene Wenger to Monaco, who he coached for 7 seasons. Very shocked to see this. very shocked to see this tie come about. I thought for sure Arsenal would play either Bayern Munich or Barcelona. I don't know how that happened, but we got Monaco, and I'm not complaining one bit. So I have to say Arsenal goes through there with the talent and the way they're playing these last couple of games and the confidence that they have and the players that are coming back actually from injury. They should be able to handle Monaco. Next game I have Juve versus Borussia Dortmund. Tough to call. I think the home team wins each game. But it just depends on who scores more goals. So that's we call it a pick'em in football. But if I were a betting man and I had to lay money down on somebody, I would have to lay it down on Dortmund. They just seem more organized and eager to make something out of their season. Juve's in first place. They're probably on their way to winning the Scudetto. But Dortmund's languishing in almost last place, and they need a positive out of this season, and I think they're going to go all out to try and get that win. So I'm picking Dortmund in that tie. Bayern Munich versus Shakhtar Donetsk. Well, I mean, I like Shakhtar. I like the way they play. They Ukrainian team that poaches Brazilians left, right, and center, but I can't see anybody beating Bayern Munich. Their firepower is too much. So I gotta take Bayern in that tie. Porto versus Basel, maybe a toss up. Basel's a scrappy team, as Liverpool saw, as Real Madrid saw in the group stages. So gun to my head, I have to pick somebody. I'm gonna pick Porto. I think they do enough at home to win that game, and I think they're talented enough to poach a goal on the road in Switzerland. So. Basel's home field isn't that intimidating, so I think they are there. They do enough to poach goals there, so we'll pick Porto for that tie. Next, I got Bayern Leverkusen versus Atletico Madrid. I like the way Diego Simeone has his team set up. Very solid technical team. They play physical. They don't back down from anybody. So I have Atletico winning that tie. next two games that we have, the final two ties that we have are Manchester City versus Barcelona and Real Madrid versus Schalke from Germany. I can't stand Man City. I can't stand them. I don't know. It's a toss-up for that tie. I can see Barca being beat, but if Sergio Aguero isn't ready to go and firing on all cylinders by the time this tie comes about, I can't see them scoring enough goals to beat Barcelona. The Nou Camp is a very intimidating place to play. It's like the 13th, it's like the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th man on the field. There's just the crowd at the Nou Camp. So I can't see them doing enough on the road to win this. I can see Barcelona beating Man City 3-0 in the Nou Camp, and they're just having to coast at the Etihad, especially if Aguero is not in the lineup. So I have Barcelona taking that tie. And finally, we have Real Madrid versus Schalke. Wow. What are you going to do? For the same reasons, Barcelona's going to win that tie. I think Real Madrid scores 5 goals at the Bernabeu against Schalke. I think it's a 4-0, 5-0 shocker that we see there. And they just do enough at Schalke's home field to secure a win. Maybe a 1-1 tie there. So I see Real Madrid going through. So my final 8, and you guys can take a look at who's in the round of 16 and make your predictions as well, and post them on the website. Let me know who you think will come out of each tie and why, and we'll see how it all shakes out at the end. So my final 8, I have Chelsea, Arsenal, Dortmund, Bayern Munich, Porto, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, and Barcelona. So two teams from England, two teams from Germany, and 3 from Spain. So and one from Portugal. So it should be a very interesting Champions League. Like I've said in previous podcasts, it's my favorite tournament. People say, well, World Cup, Euro, da da da. Champions League is my favorite tournament. Because you see the best players. When you get down to the quarterfinals, semifinals, you're going to see the best teams in Europe playing football, and it's always great to watch. So, like I said, get on the website. Let me know what you think about my final 8. I'll also post a list of my final 8 on the Google Plus page, and you can I'll create a poll, and you can vote on if you think I'm right or wrong, or you could also leave me messages saying your final 8, and we'll see where it shakes out. So finally, I'm not going to speak about Arsenal this week. Those of you that listen to the podcast know that I usually end off the show with a 20-minute rant on what Arsenal is doing right, what Arsenal is doing wrong, what could be better. But there's been too much time that's gone by since the last time I've ripped Arsenal. So in the past couple of weeks, they've played, I think, 4 or 5 games. And the emotions have been from, I can't believe I support this team, to, this is what I thought Arsenal should play like, which is their last game against Newcastle, which they won 4-1. So there was games against Galatasaray and Southampton and West Brom, and Dortmund, actually, in the Champions League, which they've won all 5 of them, and we beat Gala with our C team, B, C team. So, but still, at the same time, I don't forgive Wenger for what he's done in the past, what he's done in this season, last season and this season. It's kind of the thing where everything's going right now, so everyone forgets about the previous 7 games where we look like we've never played football before. So things still need to improve. It's just that we're kind of in the part of our schedule where we're not playing that great of a opposition. So it kind of looks like we're doing well. But if you throw a Chelsea in next week, or even a Man City, or even a Stoke in next week, actually, you know what? Stoke is in that mix. We lost that game. We were down 3-0 at half. But anyways, I'm not going to get into that. There's too many games that have passed by, and too many emotions of an up and down roller coaster that your ears would bleed, because I'd be saying, oh yeah, we played great that game and we did this and we did that. And then Stoke game would come up and it was like, well, these guys are garbage because they did this and then that. Well, I'm not going to get into that. I like to recap the games week by week. So I have so many notes here about the Arsenal, but it's like, it doesn't even make sense. Got some injuries and guys are coming back at the right opportune times. And it's kind of the way I look at it. It's kind of good that the injuries happened earlier on in the season. And now that we're into a softer part of our schedule, we're starting to beat teams that we should beat and we're making up points. So we're only 5 points out of third place at the midway point in December. So the teams that are ahead of us are going to drop points. West Ham's not going to come in fourth. Let's get that out of the way now. They're going to start dropping points. There was a point in time where Aston Villa was, I think, in third place, and everyone was heaping praises on Paul Lambert. Oh my God, he's finally turned his team. Yeah, they're in 16th, 15th place now. So there's lots of time for people to drop points, and teams are going to drop points. So just want to make sure you get the points that you should get and hope that everything comes out rosy in the end. But one thing I wanted to add was that about two podcasts ago, I mentioned a team called Eibar from La Liga, which is their first time in the La Liga proper, Primera Division. The likes of David Silva, Xavi Alonso played for Eibar. And they were playing Barcelona, and I went through all the discrepancies between the two teams, where Barcelona's, off the top of my head, I can't remember the exact numbers, but Barcelona's operating costs are like 500 million euros, and Eibar's is like 18 million. Something like that. The discrepancy was just gross. But they're both playing in the same division. They're sitting in ninth in La Liga. They're sitting in ninth place in La Liga. So I always keep my eye out on these guys, because these guys are doing it on a shoestring budget. And when you compare them to Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid and Barcelona, they're not even in the same stratosphere as far as the money they can spend. I believe I quoted a price that the transfer fee for Luis Suarez, 75 million or 80 million pounds, could run Eibar for 5 years, the whole club. And that's paying players, coaches, that's the lighting, the water, the kit, the playing, the groundskeepers, the medical staff, everything. It could run the team for 5 years, just one transfer fee from Barcelona. I'm always going to keep my eyes on them, and when they slip, I'll tell you. When they boost up, I'll tell you that as well. Okay, so that being said, like I said earlier on in the podcast, we've created a new YouTube channel. It's on the Contact Us page on the website, www.footballweekly.com. We've also created a Google Plus page, also on the Contact Us page on footballweekly.com. If you follow me on Twitter, I've put a couple of tweets out promoting that. I've actually started following some people that have gone back to me, and they're going to post some stuff on my site and share things, and I'm going to share their stuff as well. So if you have anything that you want to share with us, definitely leave it there. There's a Contact Us page actually on the website. You can leave your comments and show topic ideas there as well. As usual, thanks for listening to the Football Weekly podcast, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks.